Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
Come on, give it up today for the new series starting. Come on, Florida, you can do better than that. Welcome all our St. Louis locations. You can be seated. We're excited about that, and we'll get into this in a minute about the miracle of turnarounds, how that God can do in the last few seconds of a game what nobody else can do. But on the scoreboard, though, a lot of you are asking, because last week we didn't talk about it, where are we at with the new Fairview Heights campus? And I think they got a slide there where we're at. You guys have been giving really well to that. I think you only got like 29 or 30 till we're done with that quadrant. So give it up for everybody. Come on now. We're excited about it. I think somebody ought to just write a check today and get us out of that quadrant. And then, speaking of March Madness, something really, really cool happened that's going to just make our March. It's amazing. Growing up, we lived in a trailer, very, very poor. In fact, our baloney didn't have a first name. And we weren't even poor. We were just poor. We couldn't afford the other letters, you know? And my dad got a hold of some teaching tapes back when they had cassette tapes by a guy named Kenneth Copeland. And Kenneth Copeland began to speak in our life. And then my dad began to sow a dollar every day. We had to go out and look for soda bottles into Kenneth Copeland in 76, 77, 78, 79, 80. So my whole life this was going on. And my dad never really got to be around Brother Copeland. And then my dad went on to be with the Lord. And then I had an opportunity to meet Brother Copeland, and it was really cool. He gave our church $1 million every year in free airtime for the last 5 years, and that's incredible. And my dad is in heaven today, but he didn't see that the dollar a day came back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Come on, our city. Come on, everybody, everywhere. It's incredible. Well, he's a father in the faith. He's 85 now. He looks incredible. His hair, by the way, doesn't dye it. He does. He can do a 2-minute plank. Incredibly, incredibly disciplined. And I got a call the other day, and he said, "You know what's on my list of things to do? I've never, 85 years, ever asked for a place to preach." He still goes all around the world, but he said, "I'm asking you to preach at Faith Church. It's my dream." So he's coming to Faith Church in person. Come on, somebody. March the 29th, Tuesday night, St. Louis. There's only 2,400 seats, so you better hurry up and get there. They're not for sale. You just got to show up. It's going to be good. And then streaming to RPC. I preached there last night. Hey, let's get into the sermon. Now, back to that point where God can do in the last few seconds what nobody else can do. First of all, March Madness is going to be fun, but I got to go on record and tell you that I've had to pull some stuff out, you know, like giving away shoes and all kinds of cool things because I know nothing about sports. In fact, the only thing I really know, in fact, this jersey, I bought this at Goodwill in South County when I left the chiropractor's office on Tuesday. I got it for $12, y'all. Somebody already offered me last night, they DM'd me $15. I say, "You got a deal." But and I didn't even know it was a thing. Like I rode my motorcycle to church last night to preach, and I heard a guy honking behind me, honk, honk, honk. And I looked, and he was doing this. He had the same jersey. I was like, "I don't even know who this is, but go, bro. I'm a fake fan," right? I don't know. The only thing I really know about it, I learned from this guy. Remember this guy? This is all I know about basketball.
Most of my days, chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool and all, shooting some b-ball outside of school.
Come on, somebody. You guys are rowdy. It's a rowdy crowd in Florida today. Got in one little fight. My mama got scared. So we're going to talk about March's madness, and really it's a miracle that'll settle the issue. And there's a lot of crazy things that are happening in the world today, from the Ukraine, praying for our brothers and sisters over there. But here's my word to you. If you don't get anything out of my sermon, get ready. Jesus is about to split the eastern sky. All things are being fulfilled. Somebody ought to get excited. I know young people, they don't get excited. Because I remember when I was like you, and I was like, "I don't even have my driver's license yet." Remember that? You thought the Lord was coming back? "I ain't even married." But we're lining up. I want to go to this miracle, though. In John chapter 2, it says, 3 days later, there was a wedding at the village of Canaan in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus' disciples were there as guests. When he started running low on wine at the wedding banquet, Jesus' mother told him, they're just about out of wine. Jesus said, is this any business of mine or of yours? This isn't my time. Don't push me. Everybody shout, don't push me. And she went ahead anyway, telling the servants, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Sounds like Nike. Then six stoneware water pots were brought there, used for rituals that hold 30 gallons each. And then Jesus ordered the servants to fill the pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. Not just a little bit, to the brim. Now, fill your pitchers and take them to the host, Jesus said, and I love this, they did. And when the host tasted the water, that he became wine, he didn't know what had happened. But the servants, of course, knew, and they called the bridegroom. And everybody knows that the finest wines we serve first, and then when the people get drunk, we save the cheap wine to the end. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about right now. We save the best till now. I want to draw our attention today to a few lines in that golden text in all campuses. Get on this, participate on this. This isn't just a sermon. This is a word to mark and march out in if you listen prophetically. Number one, I noticed that Jesus now is at a wedding and they are out of wine. I'm here to tell you that the world is out of wine. They're faking that they've got something that they don't have. They're over here going, you gotta be this way, and this is where the cool kids hang out. But then they're committing suicide alone in a hotel room or in a bathtub. Somebody ought to understand what I'm saying. They have no wine, they're fronting, but we are the people of God. So we got something they ain't got, and they don't know what they ain't got, but we got it. Everybody shout, we got it. Look at your neighbor, come on, shout, we got it, we got it, we got it. We got it. I don't know if Trey's back there a minute. One of our singers, Trey. I don't know anything about this kind of stuff. But Trey, I saw him. I don't know if he's back there. He's running. Trey's running up. Come on, give it up for Trey. Trey sang the national anthem, y'all. Trey, last night, we were leaving church, and I saw him. He was just spinning it. Just, I don't know how to do this. That ain't bad. Come on, someone. That's a sure sign of a misspent youth right there. He got it. He's got it. I used to have it, but I don't know where I put it. Come on, somebody has to remember. But Jordan, Mr. 23, he's got it. All these different players, everybody says, Duncan's Duncan. You know, he's got it. Pastor Phil at Weldon Springs, he thinks he's got it, but his kids really got it. But you've got it. See, so many times right now in this world that we're living in, we get focused on that, you know what, because of COVID, because of the setback, because of this, listen, if you're a champion, you're a champion, even if other people in the family aren't a champion. I was thinking about that on the way here. I think LeBron lives in a different house than his little brother. I think that there are certain talents that you possess. And one of the reasons why I know that you are a champion is because you're showing up on the court to play, to shred, to hoop, to win. So many people today, they just stay home and they pretend that, you know, I don't, it's this, it's that. No. You have it. You've got the it factor. Jesus notices what his mom is saying when she says, the world has no one. Then I love that next point. When Jesus says, what business is this of mine? He said in the original text, it says, my time has not come. Everybody shout that with me. My time has not come. Come on, all campuses. Why? My time. Number one, we notice that God's aware of time. Timing is everything. It's the dance. It's the playing with a team. And Jesus said, it's not my time. And then he said, woman, don't push me. I would think that means no. I would think, no. He said no. But he said, woman, don't push me. But she just kept pushing. It reminds me of the woman with the issue of blood. She just kept pushing. It reminds me of you when the enemy tried to set you up, to set you back, to stop you. And you just said, you know what? I'm just going to keep on practicing it. Keep on hooping and keep on speaking. And I won't fail if I don't quit. Somebody ought to give God praise today. He said, don't push me. But then at verse five again, it says, she went ahead telling the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. He just said, I ain't doing it. But the coach said, get ready, team. Get ready, team. Everybody shout that. Get ready, team. Come on, like you had breakfast. Shout, get ready, team. See, there's a coach. There's a good-looking coach right there. One of our interns, give it up for a good-looking coach. They're at a point to where they're out and it's empty. We got to take the lid off and look that it's empty. Houses are high. All the good men are gone. Come on, single ladies. Where are my single ladies at? Come on, all the cameras. You're like, all the good men are gone. No, they're not. They're in hiding. And all the good men aren't gone. In fact, there's a lot of bad men that could be good men, but you got to speak to the man that's going to be instead of the man who currently is. Somebody ought to shout to that right now. So she says, hey, boys, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Just do it. Nike stole that slogan. We're giving away all these Jordans at every campus today, and I don't even know except how we afford to do all this, except that God has blessed our church and it's blessed his young people, and Michael Jordan needs a tie to the church. But this swoosh mark stands for what? Just do it, Nike. But their slogan is what?
Just do it.
Just do it. You know, a lot of times, success in life is the difference between just doing it and not doing it. And secondly, it is believing in what you can't see. Ferguson campus right now, we were Earth City, which is the biggest African-American church in St. Louis. It was amazing, all the great things that we were doing. And then all of a sudden, God starts calling me to answer as a white guy racial tension in our city, which was ground zero. As you know, St. Louis, Ferguson became ground zero. Tanks rolling down the street. It's a madhouse. And in the midst of all that drama, I thought, I can't. And I got a call. Check this out. I got a call. I was sitting here in Florida, and the phone rings, and it's a famous football player. If I told you his name, everybody would know him. He said, hey, my buddy has got a bunch of money, and he heard about what you are doing, and he just wants to see if there's anything that you're doing that he can get involved in. And I just felt like I ought to call that joker. Picked up the phone. He starts saying all the right thing. And he knows all these people. And he starts making promises to me. And I said, well, there is this thing that I wanted to buy this church in Ferguson and Ferguson area. And it's 17 acres. And I told him how much it costs. And he said, that ain't a problem. I'll wire you the money. I'm going, oh, praise God, this is incredible. Can't believe it, it's awesome. And then he said, I want to see the property. So he flies in, he looks at the property. There's a house on it. And we said, we might make that like a girl's home because this is the very zip code where Nicole was beaten at. He said, not a problem. He said, we're going to need buses and vans to get the girls. When you got the girls, you got to take them to their, you know, their doctor's appointments, and we need security. And he's telling me all this stuff. And I'm believing him. And I'm thinking, man, look at God. Look what the God said. Come to find out, there was a girl that he was dating who was a stripper in St. Louis who got saved under my ministry. And then he was abusive to her. And so she didn't want nothing to do with him anymore. So he pulled all these shenanigans because maybe she would think that he was okay because I thought he was okay. I got to lie to y'all. But here's what it did. Before I knew I was getting lied to. Anybody ever been lied to? You didn't know you'd been lied to, but it's such a good story, you kind of enjoy the lie? And he's telling me the story, and I remember thinking, thank God, I don't think I could have done this. I don't think I would have done this, and now I'm going to make this shot. And I was walking outside my house in Sunset Hills, and I remember getting off the phone with the guy because the guy said, we're getting ready to wire the money. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I wish you would believe me like you believe him. When I'm talking about vans and talking about remodeling houses and talking about paying cash for, you don't even know this joker. By the way, he's a liar. I said, God, please don't tell me he's a liar. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. This is not a liar. Anybody follow what I'm saying right now? But because the liar lied to me, he lied to me. He actually, I remember he punked me. I'm mad right now because I'm going back to the phone. The first time he rolled up in my office, he sat on the couch, real big guy. And I believe in him because these are pro football people that are his buddy. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, it's very believable. He sits down, kind of scoots over a little too close to my wife. I noticed that right away and I thought, I ain't selling that. Come on, somebody, that ain't for sale right now. And then I said something, and how much money do you need? And I said, well, I don't know. We haven't really done all the math. And he said, and so I threw out a number. He looks at Nicole, kind of taps her and says, where'd you get this guy? Kind of punking me. Like he had done something. Come to find out, all he had was an Invicta watch that he bought at TJ Maxx. Come on, somebody. This guy is fronting. He's faking. He's not a real player. But there is a real player that is actually allowing me to get played because he knew that I probably wouldn't do it unless he sent some demoniac. God forgive me for saying that right now. He sent some guy with ill intentions. And I believed. But because I believed, God did it. And would you believe that God paid cash for that building? The first service that we went in, it was paid for. Somebody ought to give God praise. And then we paved the parking lot, you know what I'm saying? And then we fixed it up. And then we remodeled the house over here. And then we went up to the mountaintop and flattened it down. And they're getting ready to start Morris Field. Pastor Omar, who, by the way, was a casualty of war because when we took on racial tension, COVID, the devil, opened doors, demons, they knocked out that campus pastor. Now the church is there and it's growing like crazy and it's awesome, but it doesn't have a campus pastor. But guess what? It doesn't have to have it to keep going because God is the chief shepherd that takes care of it. Somebody ought to give God praise. I wish Earth City makes some sunset on it. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah to this. But here's my point. You've got to believe it. Just do it. You got to pick up an empty checkbook. You got to pick up an empty marriage. You got to pick up an empty dream. And you got to go, I know it looks like it ain't his time yet. And Jesus has never done any miracles yet. But it's about to happen. Go fill it with water and walk by faith and not by sight. You start prophesying. COVID didn't kill me. The divorce didn't set me back. I'm a champion. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I give you 10 seconds to praise him. Just do it, just do it, just do it, just do it, just do it. Somebody shout, just do it. Whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Now Jesus is looking at these empty water pots. They fill them up to the brim. Jesus is like, my crazy mom, it's not my time. I've went 33 years. This isn't supposed to happen till mid-May. She's jumping the gun. Jesus realizes I gotta lace up his sandals. And I'm about to get in the game. Now when they take the empty water pots over, there were six of them. And six is the number of man. It was flesh. So many times we start out in the flesh, but we end up in the spirit. It was flesh that the guy wanted to get with, which is a former stripper, who, by the way, is at Sunset Hills today because she stayed with church, she stayed with God, she stayed with the power of God, and she's raising her. This has been a few years now. Somebody ought to give God praise today. So what the devil meant for evil, And that's why sometimes I tell you, if they sit next to me on the front row, they're probably bad people. Unless they're a campus pastor, and that's, you never know that either sometimes. But God says, she says, fill it up. Notice Jesus didn't say fill it up. She said fill it up. So she starts out in the flesh, and they go over there, and they fill it to the brim. Now let's talk about that for a moment. So many times you're limiting thinking is keeping you back. My dad said, whatever you do, don't grow a big church because churches are great, but you don't need more than one because it'll drive you crazy. And he was right. But the fact is, God called me to do it because I had to shoot my shot, because there were some people that would come to our church that would receive salvation, and they would make heaven their home based on whether or not I did it or I didn't do it. And I'm here to tell you today that every campus, I'm ready to get you in the game. Yeah. Stop being on the sidelines and be one of those people to pick up the ball like Mary told them to do and say, you get in the game. You say, well, how do I do that? You got to go through growth track. And then church should not just be a place where you come and go, bless me, feed me, help me. You got to get in the game and turn water into wine for other people, because there are strippers who are suicidal that come to our church. And there are lawyers that are suicidal that come to our church. And there are marriages that are broken and God restores them that come to our church. So when you grow, you can't just sit on the sidelines with your jersey and eat your hot dog and drink your soda. You got to get up and you got to start shooting. You got to start, somebody ought to start shredding some nets, because that's what we do, church. Just do it. Shout it again. Just do it. Just do it. Six stoneware water pots were there. Each one of them held 20 to 30 gallons. And then I love this. It says, Jesus ordered the servants. His mom standing over there with six water pots. Team of players, and Jesus is like, all right, I gotta take off this shoe. I wanna put on these water making shoes. Now I'm just showing off. I got two. Come on, some of you balling right now, Doc. Preachers and sneakers gonna love me. I couldn't decide. Okay. Jesus puts on the movement and orders them. Everybody shout, he orders them. God's gonna give you specific direction, but until you follow his general direction, he will never give you any specific direction. So this dream that you have, this hope that you have, this internal time clock that's saying your time's not come yet, but it's about to come. Jesus is gonna order you and say, you say, well, what are some of the things he's gonna order? Well, I know. A couple things he's gonna order. He's gonna say, go to my house, read my word, get saved, forsake not the assemblies of yourself together. When the evil day approaches, do it all the more. These are low-lying fruit that'll really set you up to win. So I'm giving you clues right now. He ordered them. Everybody shout, he ordered them. He ordered them. So the Lord will order you. And when they filled them to the brim, now fill the pitchers, Jesus said, and they did. I could preach there all day. Jesus said, and they did. Jesus said, and they did. Shout that with me. Jesus said, and they did. Jesus led me to buy that church in Ferguson. Jesus really put it on my heart to do it. And we did it. But I probably wouldn't have done it had my belief system not gotten really high, because I was thinking the timing's off. Do you know that God's timing and your timing are different? He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So we're trying to save the planet, separate the trash. Good luck with that. God's gonna burn it down. We're trying to figure out, how are we gonna afford gas? For the love of, I love that meme that says, it's got Chris Farley, it says, for the love of God, turn the pipeline back on. But you're looking to the wrong group. You're looking to a government official. You're looking to politicians. And those guys don't have the answer. So your hope is built on the wrong thing. So it's built on the flesh, which is empty. It ain't nothing but water. But God turns water into wine when you say, God has saved the best for last. And he put me in this people planet right now to tell you, God's going to work all things together for your good. Raise your hand if I'm making sense to you. Point to your neighbor and say, are you getting this? They did. Yeah, for the sake of time. So what happened when they put the water into the wine and then it turned into water to wine and then they went over and they said, you saved the best till now. Because it was the end of the wedding. But get this, it's Revelation right now. This is the end of the wedding. Why would he serve the best? Wow. Doesn't make no sense. Why? Yesterday, the Lord told me. He said, do you know why I saved the best for the last? He said, it was a celebration because it was the end of the wedding, but it was the beginning of my ministry. So I brought the best in at the last. No, that's revelation right there. I'm here to tell you that God saved the best for last. He saved you and me. Now we're looking at ourselves in the flesh. So we go, you should have made Oral Roberts about 20 now, Catherine Kuhlman about 30, Billy Graham 19, and we got to, Joyce Meyer shouldn't be 85, Kenneth Copeland shouldn't be 85. These jokers need to, we need to, if I could turn back time. Sing it with me, church. If I could find a, I don't know the rest of the words, but anyway. We can't go back to the future. But God did not make a mistake. When he said, it's the end of the world as we know it, but it's the beginning of the future as you will know it. And so he put us here right now, not to play church. I want to talk to governments right now. I want to talk to churches right now. People are going to church less. Making it illegal to go to church. And guess what? I'm so proud of our church that we went to church when it was illegal. We went to church when they said no. We went to church when hell was saying, we're going to kill you. And guess what? It's past, it's over, and God is still on the throne. Somebody ought to give it praise. Hey. I'm not any good. You can tell I spent all my time. I ain't done this in 10 years. You can tell. But if you got enough balls, come on, shoot your shot. I got balls flying everywhere. That one's going again. Going again. Man, I suck at this. I ain't quitting my day job. I can tell you. Look at your neighbor and say, he need to keep preaching. I'm going to try to wreck them all. Pay attention, miss. Shoot your shot. So this ain't got nothing to do with my message. I just thought it'd be fun. Come on, someone. Shoot your shot. I have a couple questions before we go. If the best is for last, and we're here last, then we must be the best. There's something about being good at what you're good at. It feels good. I shot those because I'm no good. I own a couple gyms. Should be good. Too busy paying for them. But it just doesn't feel good when I keep missing the shot. So I could spend my whole life studying all week to try to impress you. Or I could do the thing that I was designed to do. You stop trying to say, I'm not good at this and I'm not good at this. You find out the thing that you are good. I'm good at stringing a bunch of words together and giving you hope and listening to the Holy Spirit to tell you that grace and favor is about to hit every area of your life. And I'll shred that net every time. But unless the team works, the dream won't work. So here's a couple things as I part that I want to share with you. I wrote a few things down that maybe you ought to take notes on it. Earth City's very good about a couple of those kids there always Instagramming and mentioning me, and you'll want to put these in there. A growth mindset. View challenges as opportunities. Couldn't buy the building because I got lied to because the guy was in love as a stripper. It sounds like a book Joel Osteen would never write, but I might. View challenges as opportunities. Find the good in every situation. I kept missing the shot, but I found the good in what I am good at. Here's another one. Seek feedback from people you respect. Not the people bashing you, all your fake friends, showing you fake love. I'm quoting right now. People you respect. Keep the promises, this is a big one, that you make to yourself. You're so disappointed in yourself because you missed a few shots during COVID. You messed up, didn't go to church, got so distracted by all the things that are happening in the world that the word began to just die on the inside of you. So make a promise to yourself. Today, I'm not eating any chips, and I swear I will not eat any chips. Got quiet in here today. I will walk 10,000 steps according to my app, period. You make some promises to yourself. Learn something new every day. I listen to at least one audio book per week. The one I'm on right now is called The Founder's Syndrome. It's a six-hour book. You see me do it before. You just put it here. I'm almost done. But that's what I love about preaching in Florida, is that in St. Louis, I have to run and gun. But here, I just do one and I'm done. So I can just do what I want. So here, listen, this is at 1.5.
Start with Oberoi Hotels, whose story we began telling in chapter one. When we visited Vikram Oberoi, the group CEO, we asked him about the company's talent management. We never selected for a specific position, he told us.
You see, it's not a preaching one. It's a business one. Why? Because my dad told me that the church should drive you crazy, but Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. So I'm taking business principles, and I'm challenging myself, and in every situation, I'm getting better. And if I can't get around the people that I really, really want to get around that are up here, that are actually shooting where I want to shoot, and I'll listen to their podcast, I'll read their book, because I want to learn something every day. Here's two more before I go. Stay away from comparison. Everybody shout that. Stay away from comparison. Come on, shout it like you're breakfast. Stay away from comparison. When you compare yourself amongst yourselves and to others, you'll feel like a loser. Don't compare yourself. Do the most difficult thing in the morning first. Get it over with. Make a to-do list and say, you know what? This next week, I'm going to challenge myself to do the difficult things first. And I'm gonna keep myself on the right track because I got one shot and I'm gonna shoot my shot, but I have multiple balls I can keep shooting because this God is the God of a first, second, third, and as many chances that I need, but I'm gonna keep my hopes up. So I challenge you today as you stand to get book smart, but also be street smart. How many of y'all street smart? Raise your hand. How many of y'all book smart? Nicole street smart and book smart. You're not a survivor. You're a thriver. You're not a just enough. You're a more than enough. God's going to take the lid off of you today. Say, yeah, you're out of wine, but I'm going to fill it up with water. And then he's going to turn the water into wine while you're walking by faith, while you're going to church. While you're in growth track, while you're connecting with other people. Listen, there's one scripture that I didn't read today that I want to see if I can find it real quick. So good. I've lost it. Now here it is, 1 John 5, verse 4. It says, "For whoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory. That word victory there, I looked it up in the Greek, and you know what it means? It means Nike. Nike stole it. If you study it out, they say that just do it, Nike, it's victory. And this scripture says, whatever's born of God, and that's you, overcometh the world. That's COVID, that's the Ukraine, that's Russia, that's depression, that's cancer. This firm foundation can free you. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray for you at all the campuses today. God, I pray today for Earth City, for Weldon, for Sunset, for Royal Palm, for online. God, you truly are a firm foundation. Today, I thank you, Lord, that you're allowing us to shoot our best shot. You saved the best for last. God, encourage your people today. Not only, God, do we want to be encouraged, but help us encourage other people this week. God, I pray that every campus will realize that we need to go win people and bring people into the kingdom of God. God, the people that I invited to church this week that came, I'm grateful. But God, this week, lead me to people at the gas station to buy their gas and invite them to church. Help us, God, in all of our ways to not be so self-absorbed that it's just about us winning, but we're going to get a team around us that's winning. God, we pray right now for our city, for our state, for our nation, for Ukraine. And God, we bind up the spirit of the age. And God, we thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper, against our family. God, I pronounce a blessing this week as we walk into Monday. We're going to walk in blessed, redeemed, revived, strong, courageous, good-looking, more than a conqueror, happy, fortunate, disease-free, God. We receive it by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Give the Lord a great big hand. As you're seated, check this out.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church Podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.